that is far greater than they do now, because we really have got a system where we have some money, we've asked for a little bit more, the minister thinks that we're underperforming, there's at least a 40% increase that we can generate according to his own figures, but we are vague on what we actually need. And I appreciate the fact that there's a study being done, but can I ask that that gets speeded up now, and we actually present to this committee a very strongly based empirical report with a strong foundation of international best practice to enable us to assist this department and this particular tourism marketing arm to get what they need. Because if the minister is saying that we should be contributing 14% to the economy and we're only contributing 8.5%, then clearly we are undercapacitated in terms of budgetary funding. And let's actually make sure that that gap is closed.
Thank you, Honourable Khumak. In fact, I also like us to explore the area of genuine cultural tourism, where in this document we mentioned that we are not perceived as people that are, according to research, that we have. Let me just quote it verbatim. Research into the travel patterns of regional tourists and many overseas travelers reveals significant missed opportunities. These range from the lack of availability of desired products in our experience, particularly authentic cultural tourism, through to the limited night activities, as many tourists are told to stay in their hotels for fear of their safety. Well, first, let us remove the, let us forget about the last phrase, but because I don't think we can do much about it rather than advocate and perhaps see what to do about it. But the issue of authentic cultural tourism is linked to also to heritage of diverse communities, where there is rich historical background, and which is entwined with this cultural tourism, where we do not see the actual people doing things, and what we see is that in 2010 we are promoting Bisky, and at the cost of our cultural activities and genuine distinct cultural events. So I do not know what we are doing in that respect. If we could perhaps get your input as to how we are managing those missed opportunities, if perhaps we can do something about it. I know opportunities are something that you can explore, but they are not within your control. But sometimes if you do something, perhaps you could be lucky. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Would you like us to start with the questions from this morning that we didn't get to? Because when we stopped, Rasheen was going to talk about what we're doing with domestic and Africa, and particularly around some of the issues that were raised about the border posts and the activities that we've done there and the problems at the border posts.
I'm really sorry. Thank you. That was just a lapse, but I'm really sorry for that. And secondly, let me apologize. The letter we received, it was there in the office. When we checked, I found it. I read it. It was marked. But I said I did not. We did not receive it. I did receive it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. And really, I think the honourable member is not here that asked us the question about the rural development side. And I wanted to say that it is very important to us that tourism is spread. Didi was talking earlier about the geographic spread and how much we are trying to ensure that we sell parts of the country that are not being sold currently. The challenges that we face with this is that we've got to find reasons for people to go to a place. So we know that when tourists come here, whether they're from across our borders or they're coming internationally, they are looking for an experience. So they're looking for experiences, they're looking for natural beauty, they're willing to drive around the country, and we do have good roads, we know that. What we need to find is how do we pull them into the various provinces, and this is the work that we are doing with provinces, so that we can work out with them what are their unique selling points. It's my personal issue with the province like in Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape, where I think they have so much to offer. You know, I understand a province like Northern Cape and Free State, where they have less in terms of what they offer for an international tourist or a tourist out of Africa. They may not have the full experience, and they have a niche experience. But yet the Northern Cape manages to attract people who come there for adventure, who come there for river rafting. But you'd find provinces like the Eastern Cape and in Mpumalanga, where they have everything. There's nothing that doesn't exist in those two provinces. And they should not be sitting in the position that they're currently sitting. They should actually be attracting a lot more visitors. Mpumalanga's got the Kruger Park. It's more well-known than Table Mountain internationally. And they need to set up the routes so that people actually go out there. And I think it comes to the point that Chairperson just made, but I will allow more on that one, of the cultural experience. It's Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga that have more cultural experience than anywhere else in the country. And we've been saying to these provinces that you need to develop it to the point where you make it a proper experience. There's no point in saying we're the home of Mandela in the Eastern Cape, but then there's nothing that tells people here's the route that you can take to understand the home of Mandela. That's what people are looking for. Or we have Ndebele and Swazi culture in Mpumalanga, but then when people come, they go into a little cultural village that's very distant from local people. So that's the work that needs to be done, and that's part of the challenge we have on getting the provinces to work on developing, on the product development side, because it's very easy for South African tourism to market. The demand is there. It's on the supply side where we have a problem because it's not as easily accessible. So tourism is not developed in the province around the areas where we need to ensure that there is benefit to the local communities. In terms of the border posts, I do understand you've just done a tour of them, and I did that a few years ago, but even currently, what we've tried to do, and we've identified 10 border posts where we've run what we call the welcome campaign. It's not a big part of the work that we do, but it is something we do 3 times a year, where we've actually worked with the Border Coordinating Committee, and we've gone to help the border get some signage. I don't know if you saw it, but there is some welcome signage that we've put in. We've also looked at whether there's a place to put in tourism information. It hasn't been very easy, but we're still trying to work with them to have a kiosk of some sort, which someone mentioned, where we can provide tourism information. I can't answer the question on the sales of crafts, but certainly on information. We also went to the extent where we got companies to contribute fridges and fresh water, bottled water, for the border officials so that we could just make their life a little bit more pleasant because they're spending the whole day stamping passports. And what we were wanting to do is we want them to be welcoming. They need a pleasanter environment to work in. And we have found, again, we've asked the provinces to partner with us, but we haven't got any partnerships from them. So the work has just been from South African tourism side. You will see some pictures in the annual report, and recently the minister also went in August to the Lebombo border post. We are willing to work with the committee if there's any other suggestions that come out that you think we can help with. But our role would be on information, on signage. We've also done training. We have actually done training for the border officials, which we call welcome training, and it's about getting them to understand customer service and how we deal with people that come across. Things might change with the uni visa that comes in. We might not have the same type of situation at the border post that we have now. And I think the last one that I was just going to cover was domestic tourism, which is very important. And not just now, because we're having a global crisis, that we need to get more domestic tourism in the country, but in any country in the world, you have to have a domestic demand in order to make sure that your product survives, that jobs survive, that the economy of tourism survives. And we see it as important to continue to promote it. We run what we've mentioned before, the Short Left campaign, because our job is to get the culture of travel within the domestic market. We know that there are a lot of people that travel anyway. The people that we are targeting are the people that don't travel now, and we know that they can travel in the future. And we're looking at a more younger audience that we want to develop into travelers that become more mature. So we focused a lot on the domestic market, and we work there quite well with provinces and with the tourism industry so that we can promote special deals in the domestic market. On the product side, there are two programs we do. The one is called ITEA. It's the Emerging Tourism Entrepreneur of the Year Award. We had about 300 applicants. These are small SMME businesses in tourism that become part of a competition that we run. We work with a sponsor, which happens to be South African Breweries, and we work with the Tourism Enterprise Program. Now, the Tourism Enterprise Program, which is called TEP, also sits under the Department of Tourism. It's a private public partnership. And they deal a lot more with mentoring and assisting small businesses to develop. So we've run the competition, but we rely on them to help us then with a 12-month program which teaches people business skills and allows those businesses to flourish and survive. We have found with ITEA that we've gone into a lot of the outlying rural areas where people have products that have survived. So it can work. But we give them access to markets, we give them access to marketing information.
Okay. Thanks, Rasheen. On the issue of the marketing for funding, we can just update the work that we've done, because we have done it in previous applications, because you know, we have to make applications to Treasury for money for on an annual basis, and we've done some of the modelling around it, and the report that I sent to the chair is quite useful, because it not only shows the jobs in the tourism sector, which we measure, it shows the jobs in other sectors, which is very important, because tourism creates a lot of jobs, or tourists create a lot of jobs in the agriculture sector, in construction, in finance, in services, in, of course, retail. So when you measure the impact of tourism, it's not just the direct impact in the sector, but perhaps even more significant is the overall impact on the economy. And if you take, for example, particularly the visitors from our neighboring countries who come across here and shop a lot, the amount of jobs that creates in places like Nelspruit and Polokwane are absolutely critical for both those two towns. So it's an important area. I think Rasheen has dealt with the issue about cultural tourism. I think there's just one thing that I thought I should add to it, is that finding was from research that we did on global competitiveness in 2003-04. And we're about to embark on looking at again and benchmarking us again, ourselves against other countries and against other sectors in the South African economy. And it'll be interesting to see what the results are now, because I think since 2003-04, there has been a lot of tourism product that has been developed. You know, the one area that I think has improved considerably in the, or just not improved, blossomed in the period that I have been involved in tourism, is the whole area of crafts. South African crafts are magnificent, you know, and you can buy the stuff everywhere. It really is an industry that has taken off, and it's the fantastic thing about it is that it's got a market that we can connect then with very, very quickly. and, you know, a lot of the crafts that have been developed are now being exported and being sold overseas in shopping in department stores around the world because they are world quality products. But as Rasheen says, you know, the thing for us is it's something that we engage with the provinces on, that they must think about what they develop and how it can link in and grow the tourism experience across the country, because that really is the critical thing. The other sort of last thing perhaps to add on to it is when we were talking about sort of different areas of responsibility in tourism, the one thing that we do encourage the provinces to do is to do a lot more domestic marketing, because we believe that they should be marketing to South, they should be spending most of their money marketing to South Africans or in the region to get people to come to their provinces.
Thank you very much. In fact, in your response, perhaps on the spread, I thought that perhaps you would include aligning our promotional campaigns with provinces, with city, with metros, with municipal governments, in order to have the desired synergies right through. I do not know whether perhaps you have explored that or not. So that in turn, when you advocate, for instance, for supply side measures like roads, like sanitation, like roadside signage, and so forth, then we have all governments. Because what you find out is that in as much as we desire all places to have proper signs, all important heritage places to be on the GPS and so forth, it cannot be as a result of one government only. We've got 3 spheres of government, and perhaps there should be advocacy, and then perhaps then governments do their job as a result of your advocacy. And the linkages and the alignments then follow through with capacities and resources to attain the desired goals. Perhaps, what would you say on that, ma'am?
We do, would the member like to, would you like to ask your question?
Is it linked to this, to the linkages? No. Okay, let us deal with the prayer, this thing, and then we come to you, then we come to Mahamanga.
We work with the provinces largely. Rasheen is the chief marketing officer, runs a forum with all the provincial marketing managers. We have a forum with all the research managers and our research manager. So there is that level of cooperation on provincial, and then we sit in the MIBTEC, MINMEC structures in terms of the formal cooperation between us. A lot of the work that's done on local government level is actually done through SALGA, and we link through SALGA in. But in terms of the major metros, we have much stronger, you know, we have a very strong relationship with Durban Africa because of Indaba. We also have a very strong relationship with Joburg Tourism because of Meetings Africa. So we have those kinds of relationships about joint activities that we do together. And the problem is that I think what you are suggesting is a fantastic thing, but unfortunately, to actually get that synergy, we're nowhere near there. And it's a really important thing because, you know, particularly issues like roads and signage is absolutely critical. And I think, if I'm allowed to express just a slightly more personal opinion on it, is that I think if we had much clearer delineated roles, there would perhaps be a lot less duplication of efforts. You know, for example, if there was decided that one agency takes care of GPS for the country and just everyone else trusts them to do it, you know, and I think those are the kinds of things that perhaps we need to be a little clearer about. Because we are all a bit nervous about standing on each other's toes, about whose responsibility is what, and it becomes a bit difficult at times.
Honourable Krumbel.
Yeah, just a follow-up, not to as well this time, but sorry, Sheen, I don't remember your surname, but Singh, okay. Yeah, I mean, as you correctly said, the committee, along with the Home Affairs Committee, spent all of last week travelling to, I think it was in total 4 or 5, we called it ports of entry, that's what the BCRTC people kept referring them to. And I must admit, I didn't see anything of what you spoke about. There may have been a few welcoming signs. Certainly, I did see welcome to South Africa at a couple of these places. But there was nothing actually other than that. We obviously weren't going there as tourists, so we wouldn't be able to gauge the breadth of the smiles of the friendly officials, anything quite like that. And I think one of the things that we did decide as a committee is that we'd like to go there unannounced next time. Maybe just ones and twos, and just see what it's really like from that point of view when they're not expecting us. But in an attempt to possibly try and be helpful, you mentioned kiosks, and I don't think you really need, at many of these smaller places like Pekka Bridge and Culloden's Port and all these, you know, there obviously will be others. I don't think you need a full-time person, and maybe not even a part-time person, but perhaps what you would like to do is to have a Perspex-type kiosk constructor that you can do on a mass basis through all the ports of entry that you need, maybe a couple of each one, to secure it to the ground. Just have a system where you can have racks inside them and people just lift up a particular flap for whatever they want to see. And then you don't actually need to do anything else other than perhaps just restock them with leaflets or promotional material once a quarter or once a month, whatever the demand is. So that would be very cheap. It would make a huge difference to orientate people right at the point that they arrive, because we saw nothing of that. And I say that because, I mean, I think we all learnt a lot. Some of us are new to this portfolio. And what amazed me when we went to Lady Brand, I'm sure you're familiar with it, it actually is a booming town, but a very large part of its existence and its income is actually generated by tourism from Lesotho of all places. And it turns out it's actually Americans working in Lesotho on the various big government projects that come to Lady Brand for the weekend. And so the B&Bs and the conference centres thrive. And it's doing quite well. But there's nothing at that particular port of entry, which I think, Chair, you can correct me, is Mansiri Bridge, to say, well, look, you know, travel on another 45Ks or 100Ks, whatever it is, and you go to Clarence, you can go to Golden Gate. And one of the pleas we did hear from the Free State people quite a lot while we were there is that, you know, tourism is really centred in KZN, Gauteng and Cape Town. And one of the lines they're trying to promote is that you haven't really seen South Africa unless you've seen all 9 provinces, which obviously has there's an element of self-interest for someone who's in Free State tourism. But one can understand that there is a lot to see outside Table Mountain, the Kruger Park, and the beaches of Durban. And I think that little initiative, which wouldn't cost you very much at all, could actually go a long way to open up some of these other places which are jewels just waiting to be discovered, but for the lack of some kind of promotional effort.
Honourable McCarthy.
No, Chairperson, this is about the organogram. And this organogram, I think, I don't know whether it's duplication of jobs. Yes. 4 persons, occupying 2 different positions. I don't know whether what is happening. I need clarity on this. That's what I want to understand.
I'll answer that. What has happened at South Africa? When the annual report is being done, I also question whether you should duplicate people's photographs. The decision we made, it was a while ago, when the exchange rate went rapidly against us, we decided to freeze some posts and to get people to do 2 jobs. And I used to be the chief research officer. So I am still, I'm now the acting chief research officer, as well as the COO. And what we did when, because there's Evelyn as well, Matlaba, is when she was promoted to the regional director for Asia and Australasia, she agreed to keep the global channel job going. The global channel job, the critical aspect of it is keeping in touch with the Department of Transport on the air bilaterals, because there are some of the air bilaterals that we have a very, very strong interest in. So we need a member of our staff to make sure that we're just keeping touch with the Department of Transport to make sure that if we need to be there, we're there to argue our case. So that's, it's not a mistake. Okay.
Thank you. Honorable Farai and then Honorable Maluleke. But
coming back to what you said about beef, I read in an environmental and tourism report that the Eastern Cape has all the biomass in South Africa in table in the habitats here. For all different types of animal communities, but I do not see it in any of their advertising documents.
Doctor, in this annual report, the big one, page 121 in the Tourism Upgrading Council of South Africa, 121. The last paragraph, the second last paragraph on the right, the annual accommodation guide has been given a makeover and a new name, the Star Guide. It is the official tourism accommodation grade in South Africa, and will be launched at the Indaba in May 2009. Maybe the department will explain to the tourism will explain, because the sentence itself, it will be launched at the Indaba in May, and today is it's October. The big report, page 121. So, and on the same issue, on this question of the grading council, which has been changed the name to the Star Guide, how often the council review or revisit the hotels and the B&B in South Africa? I'm saying this because in our tour in the town called Fixback in Free State, literally, there's nothing in terms of accommodation. We went to an old hotel there. It was on Wednesday, I think. It was very difficult to the members to sleep in that hotel. Even a ordinary person cannot sleep there. And when I go out, I see it has a 3-star. I question myself whether is this really our government creating the people with 3-star in that hall. I don't know how can I call it.
Disaster.
Yeah, it's a disaster by the way. And the entire town, definitely the entire town, there is no accommodation. And my understanding is that people from Fixed Bridge, which is called Maputhe. If they came from Lesotho to South Africa, if they wanted to sleep, I'm telling you, it's a disaster. I'm from Free State. That's why I'm leaving this person on the Free State. It's a disaster. People cannot sleep anywhere in Fixback. There is no accommodations at all. So it is my concern, really, these people are grading. Are they revisiting on this question of grading or what? Because I believe that particular person who owns that hotel, he still believes, he's still on the right hand. That's why he left us there. He don't even care what is going to happen about us. Second one, chairperson, it's on the page 122. No, 123. The last paragraph, the council also partnered with all 9 provinces, tourism department, and established a provincial BBBEEE focus point forum that meets quarterly to discuss the BE implementation at the province and local government level. Chair, I think in one meeting I have raised the point that to me, the local government does, in South Africa, it doesn't take care of tourism at all in South Africa. Because you can go to each and every town, even the cities, they are not so as clean as possible. You cannot feel that if you are in Egur Lane, for example, something can shake you to see tourism activities are there. Where's my area in Free State, Mokaka municipality? And if there's some sort of a quarterly meetings, I wanted to check whether did we discuss with the municipality of these 9 provinces about, especially on municipality level, because I believe municipalities are the ones supposed to promote tourism better. Whether did you ever discuss in their IDP to put tourism as a focus point to our people, because I believe our own people in South Africa must actually from now and then understand tourism is one of the biggest departments that bring a lot of revenue to South Africa. So those are my point of concern. Lastly, Chair, I wonder if every member of parliament do watch TV, especially this channel called Big Brother in Africa. I watched the Big Brother in Africa on Saturday. I happened to watch it because there was nothing for me after soccer. And I saw 2 staff members of SA Tourism in a Big Brother Africa, promoting tourism in Big Brother Africa. I questioned myself, in a Big Brother, my understanding is that it's different people from Africa in that particular house. And whether it qualifies to tourism South Africa to go and promote T-shirt, bags, and whatever of tourism 2010 in a Big Brother Africa, rather than maybe to take it to the township, maybe, not even to parliament, to the ordinary people who are moving out in the country to promote 2010 in tourism. Whether Big Brother, it really qualifies to do that. And question is, how much has been spent to those 2 staff members of SA Tourism to promote and to go there in Big Brother? I don't know where is it, whether it's South Africa or Ghana or Zimbabwe, I don't know. It's a channel on its own. So there's a spending on that. Can we just get how much has been spent for that? Whether it qualifies for the South Africans that they can just don't receive this particular important event to take it to Big Brother in Africa. Thank you, Chair.
The hotel is referring to is Highlands Hotel in Fitzbank. It is alleged to be 3-star. That was all the information we received. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. My question is partly the same as the question from Mr. Farai, the first question. On the mission of SA Tourism, one is to remove all obstacles to tourism growth and build a tourist-friendly nation. I'm saying, how is Tourism SA working with travel agencies? Do these travel agencies have the list of preferred accommodation? Because it's the travel agencies who take us to that hotel. It means they don't have information on accommodation of tourists in South Africa. And then how is SA Tourism assisting on accommodation to be in a standard for tourists, so that it must not be an embarrassment to other people from outside to get such a hotel? Thanks, Chair.
On the Honorable Prince Zulu.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm quite happy that
tourism now, they are mentioning this signage. These are in the rural areas. Because they have traveled pre-state. The most area in Free State is rural. But to know from the main road, these other areas which are most rural, there are no signs at all to know that this direction you are going to so and so, this direction you are going to so and so. And I don't know whether you have done a research on this. Maybe also members, we must do something to submit, because we know most of the areas in our constituencies that maybe they need signage. But if tourism nationally working hand in hand with the provincial tourism, maybe we can achieve something. Because when you go to the rural, you'll find that you get lost during the day. Not to mention during the night, but during the day you have to ask, stop here and there, asking where to go, where to go. The other thing, the people in the rural area are doing this craft work. Talking about this 2010, thinking that they are going to get green patches now during this 2010. They have a lot of handwork now piled there, but there is no market. They've grouped themselves, making cooperatives, and at the end you'll find that they decided not to leave everything, because you can't wake up every morning to do something which you have no market. So they pit that when you get to these airports, big airports, you don't even find these curio shops where their things can be sold. Another thing, Chair, if you go to the rural areas, go to to our villages there. Look how dirty are they. I don't know what influence you might have to the local tourism committees. I am from Nongoma. That is where the kingdom of Wazulu belongs. And if you are from Cape Town, say, no, let me visit Nongoma Ulundi. I think these are special areas for the Zulu people. You can be shocked when you get into that town. You cannot mention that there is a municipality there, no. But maybe the tourism section can work hand in hand and make some recommendations, so that when our visitors, foreigners coming to our areas, they might see maybe even the cleanliness. You will find that the area is beautiful just because it's clean. Not even to build big houses and so on and so on, but once the area is clean, you enjoy to see such places. Thank you, Chair.
Mama Chumbe.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Just some small questions. One actually is linked to a question that was raised earlier on, so I think it can be answered together with the answer that we be given to my colleague's answer question over the engraving of establishment. You know, I looked at that earlier on, those lines that we're talking about, the lines and so on and so forth of establishment. But it also made me wonder, and so I've been thinking about this for some time, it is connected with what we have been saying about tourism in the rural areas of our country. What is it that makes you, the board, go to an area to grade an establishment? how do you decide, for instance, that you need to go there and there to create the establishment? I'm trying to find out whether the process is actually fair in the sense that would you really say that you are able to reach as many, you can't say all, but as many establishments to be created as is possible in order to promote tourism in South Africa? I'm trying to find out if perhaps the process does not unintentionally leave out certain areas where, for instance, there could be establishments that are created. Because I want to believe that once an establishment has been created, therefore it is somewhere in the books where it is known. What about those areas which have got a potential, but they are located in areas where, for instance, the board has never been, and therefore have never had the opportunity to be created? And I think, as we have all said, and I think you yourselves are saying, there are in those areas historical places of attraction for tourists, but because we don't have, these areas are not marked somewhere, they have not been graded, therefore they get left out as if they don't exist in South Africa when actually they do. You see, I come from the Eastern Cape, and I think, as we have said before, and as you yourself know, there are many areas of historical interest in the Eastern Cape. Never mind the scenery. But I don't think that, for instance, tourists either know about them or they visit them. Some of them actually are deteriorating just now, and I think sooner than later, the history will be forgotten, and this will be something about it. Now, the other question is, I thought it was a small question, but I think we'll speak sorry about that. The other question is actually linked to the financial statements here on page 147, if that's of interest. On page 147, that I think it's note, and I call it note 12. The title is Other Income, page 147. Eh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth line, foreign currency gain. I noticed that you've got a figure for 2008 under that item, but there's nothing for 2009. It's blank for 2009. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for 2009? Hasn't there been any foreign currency gains, or is it just that the year has not yet ended? Could you please just explain this? Mm-hmm. I hope you get my point.
Okay.
Yeah. I think those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay. I think let us agree on the cutoff time. How are your bookings?
We need to go to a meeting with the minister.
Oh, at 4 o'clock, you told us, no?
Yes. The minister says we can arrive at 4:30.
Okay. Okay, let us all agree. 4:25. It's whether you are satisfied or not. That's it. And in fact, I heard you talking about Salga. And my experience in one of the conferences, and then I met a municipal manager, and then I told him that, but you are represented in Salga. And then he said that Salga does not represent them properly in rural areas. He is the municipal manager of either Donnybrook or a small town around the Underbay, but I think it's a district, the Underbay district
He's a municipal manager there. And he proposed to me that it would be better for them to have an endeavor for small municipalities. And then I said, but why? Because we are represented in Salgao. He said, no, but we get swallowed there, and they just are interested in big cities. They are not interested in us who are from small cities. So when first we talk of Salgao, we've got to have that in mind, if it is true, and perhaps according to your experience, you may be something different. So let's go on. We are questioning in not because we are not satisfied, but we want to be clear and to perform even better.
Sorry, short question. Can I just add a third point to my question? It won't be long. You see, we have noticed that your financial report by the Auditor General is, I must say, good. Right through, he doesn't seem to complain about anything. I think we appreciate that. But earlier on, my colleague next to me here said something about the budget, whether really we are providing enough budget for the work of the department as a whole. And I want to say it is obvious that as South African Tourism Board, you have done a lot to give us income in South Africa. We are contributing to the GDP. But we are also, I think in a way, we are demanding that you expand. While we appreciate that, but we are demanding that, do expand. You see, this reference all the time to the provinces, to the local areas, to the rural areas, is saying to you, yes, you are doing well, but expand. Now, my question, therefore, would be, what would you yourself say about the budget? Because you can't do that without the necessary budget. Do you have anything to say? What do you want the committee to do? The committee says expand. Are you able to expand? If you are not able to expand, what do you want the committee to do for that? Should we, the question is obvious. Should we request a bigger budget for you, or should we expect that you will yourself raise your own funds and be able to expand? Because next year when you come back at this time, we shall demand to know how far have you expanded.
Thank you, Chair. If you don't mind, I'm going to skip the question on Salgao. a lot of these questions are related to grading, which we'll come back to and then we can answer them all together because part is about the voluntary nature and a lot of those stuff. Maybe we should start at the end, Johan, and you talk about the foreign currency gains.
Honourable Member, the question on the foreign exchange profit and losses. In the 2008, indeed, we recorded a profit of 12.5 million. If you look at the 2009 column, the last item under operating expenses, we unfortunately incurred a foreign exchange loss of 8.7 million rand for the 2009 financial year. It's the very last number under operating expenses. Maybe I can just add in terms of foreign exchange management and SA Tourism. We've adopted a very conservative approach in that regard, and we are very fortunate that we have a unique arrangement with the Reserve Bank that allows us to basically obtain our approved budget earlier in the financial year, and then we transfer this funding to our overseas bank accounts. So obviously, by doing that, we eliminate quite a lot of a foreign exchange risk. But in line with international financial reporting standards and accounting statements in that regard, there are still the two areas of foreign exchange risk that affects us. And the one is obviously the difference between the rate on which we transfer the funding offshore and the date on which the expense is actually incurred, which is the daily or the spot rate. And obviously the second leg of foreign exchange risk is around the year-end revaluation of your balance sheet, where basically all our assets and liabilities in the 10 overseas offices needs to be revalued and properly accounted for.
Thanks, Johan. The issue of signage is important. It's a critical issue. It's an issue that's largely under the domain of the Department of Transport. It came up quite a lot in the Minister's roadshow that he had recently around the country, and the Department has been asked to actually raise some of those issues back in with the Department of Transport, because it's very closely linked to roads and the construction of roads. We would love it if tourism could do something about some of the towns as well. You know, some of our towns are not in great condition. I think it would be something that would be really good if the Department of Environmental Affairs could take up around South Africa, that perhaps that there could be a greater awareness among South Africans of, you know, how wonderful our environment is, and we should look after it a bit more in terms of going forward. The last questions are, we would love more money, you know. And we would love to expand our operations, you know, but we have to manage our risk, and because we believe that we have a huge financial responsibility to taxpayers, and therefore we can't spread operations and then come back in a year's time with 2 billion rand debt. You know, we have to live within our means. But if it is possible to expand, it would be fantastic, because there are a lot of markets that are very attractive that we could do more in. But in terms of grading, there are about 4 questions. You've got all of them. Okay. I'm going to hand over to Tembi to answer those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the first question was the confusion around the publication of the annual accommodation guide, which, as per page 121, says it will be launched at the Indaba May 2009. This is a financial report for the year ending March 2009. What we are saying up until that period is that we've been working on this publication, which will be then launched at Indaba in May. So it's happened already. So that's the first clarification. And then secondly, yes, it is an annual guide. It comes out every year, and we always launch it at the end. So from early in the year, we start calling on all the graded establishments if they want to advertise in the guide, and for them to appear in the guide for a small fee. We then compile it, and that becomes the official accommodation guide for South Africa. As to the other two questions, how do we decide who to grade and how far do we go? There's a very simple answer to that, ma'am, and that is grading is a voluntary system in South Africa. This means that if you own a B&B wherever you are and you feel that you have adhered to a certain standard of quality assurance in your establishment, then you apply to the grading council to come and get graded. You know, obviously we would love everybody to have to get graded, and therefore we would have more members, but at this point it is a voluntary system, and only those who are able to come onto the system. And as to the quality control and the 3-star hotel in Fixbridge called Highlands Hotel, I'm very happy to receive the complaint, sir. We do have various ways in which we encourage users of all tourism accommodation establishments to please come and tell us what their experiences have been like. Clearly, in that instance, I would assume there's 2 issues. Issues with the owner who is not keeping up with the standard. The assessor may have gone in and found it to be a 3-star establishment at the time, because our assessors only go in once a year, and again after application from the establishment. So every year you have to apply to say, yes, I'd like to renew my grading status, and then the assessor comes out to grade you, and he may find you to still be a 3-star, or maybe you are a 1-star now, or even a no star at all. So there are two issues which I need to evaluate. So I appreciate the complaint. I will take it internally and investigate appropriately, and then I will revert back to you, sir, with the answer, because we need to find out if are they still graded, or are they displaying our stars illegally. So those are the issues that we need to just find out. But if I can just please plead with each and every member of the committee to just drop us an email, or I will give you my cell number. Call me personally if you really have any issues with any of the star-graded accommodation establishments in South Africa. Because the whole idea is we can't be there every day of the year. We are only there once a year, and the rest of the 364 days, that is you, the customer, that is there. And you need to let us know what your experience is. So I appreciate the complaint.
We have quite a few.
Sir, you can be the current system, rightly or wrongly, but that's the current system that was implemented back in 2002. You can be a backpacker and be a 1-star all the way through to 5-star.
How many bathrooms?
Can I get the details of the establishment, yeah, and I'll get back to you. But the fundamental question, the fundamental issue here is the current grading system has got 9 different categories, including B&B, guest houses, self-catering, hotels, camping, caravan and camping, and the last one is conferencing, which is usually inside a hotel. And all 9 categories can be graded from 1-star to 5-star. This was an agreement with the industry that the grading council had through the ministry under, at the time, Mr. Valimusa, to say that this is how we will ensure quality in South Africa. Obviously, there's varying opinions on how can you have a caravan camp, a 5-star caravan camp. Simply because when you get to caravan camping and self-catering and other categories, there's lesser criteria that you need to meet compared to a 5-star hotel or a guest house or a lodge. So that is, it is not a, not, we are working on improving the quality per se, but you will still have caravan and camping 5-star because that is what the industry brought into. I don't think we would suddenly be able, in a position to just change to say from now on, if you caravan and camp, you can't go over 2-star, which on a personal basis would be my ideal situation, but I'm speaking on my personal capacity.
Just allow them to finish and then
suppose follow up. I thought she was. Okay, sorry.
There are two more answers that were requested. One was about, it was raised in the context of Texas, about provincial forums for tourism. There was a stage, which we haven't done for a while, is that we used to go around to every provincial cabinet and all the major cities and towns and talk about the importance of tourism. But we haven't, which is remiss on our part, as South African Tourism, we haven't done it for a while. And maybe it is something we should look at doing in the future again. Because the one thing that was very important is talking, in particularly in the provincial forums, is about the importance of allocating money to tourism and areas about tourism development in the provinces and in the cities. But and signage, but signage is more free transport. But it is something that we did quite a lot 5 years ago, but we haven't done for a while. The last question was about Big Brother, which I think the chief marketing officer should answer. No, I wasn't there, but I organized it. I think I take the point of the Honourable Minister. We actually are doing roadshows throughout the country. So currently the 2010 roadshows are starting again. We did them before the Confederations Cup with the GCIS and IMC. It's not our job entirely, but we're working with them. And the second round of roadshows are happening, which is about taking 2010 out. We have these buses that have been going out.
and we do work at all the toll roads and in the roads. But just the Big Brother one, it was an opportunity given to us. The house is actually in Joburg, so it wasn't a cost for us, but the cost is that there is a product placement. MTN has been promoting 2010, if you watch last week. I know there was no soccer, but if you watch last week, and then the whole idea for us is that this is an African World Cup, and we've got to make sure that we make it into an African World Cup and get the excitement out of the continent of Africa. So we were looking for opportunities as part of our Africa marketing, and we thought this was one that we could use. And it has been quite successful because we've got a lot of publicity out of it, as well as news items. And the housemates themselves voted, I think yesterday, where they said this was the best activity they've ever done. So it's really looking for those opportunities where we can get this done. We've also done shopping center activations. And in December, we're going to be at all the beach festivals. So there is a program of how we can get more excitement around 2010, both within South Africa, but also in the continent.
Can you do it on the Member of Parliament? No, I was just saying, to the Members of Parliament, it's not a good publicity if we can go into those T-shirts and go into different provinces, because you are from a different province.
We would absolutely love to do it. We need to know who we can approach, because actually what we are doing at the end of this month, the Deputy President has asked us to do it at the Union Building. So on the 30th of October, we're doing it with him and all his staff at the Union Building. And now the next one for us has to be Parliament.
We cannot commit now, but perhaps the machinery, let's give the parliamentary machinery an opportunity to respond. We shall advocate from our side, yes, but exactly when it is going to be, we cannot say. Ms. Masubi.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to give clarity on our interaction with the provincial and metro focal points. In the facilitation of implementation of EE at a provincial and a local government level, we have established what is called the BE focal point, where we meet with people responsible at the various provincial departments, as well as key metros that are the people responsible for implementation of the BE policy. We actually had a meeting yesterday and today where these representatives were presenting reports from the various provinces on how far they've gone in the implementation of BE, which also is a forum that also functions as a training forum where we update them on the various legislative amendments that are taking place which impact on BEE. When it comes to local government, we have SAGA that sits on that forum, as well as the key metros that have been put out in there. What we do find is that, yes, that there are such challenges that you've mentioned when it comes to local government and tourism. And this year in January, the department actually had the first local government tourism conference, which will be followed up next year by another one. And they developed a toolkit to assist municipalities in developing tourism in their various areas.
Mm.
But that's an area which the department is looking after.
Thank you.
Chairperson, over the weekend there was a big event in Bloemfontein, Makufe cultural event. We happened to be there. In fact, we were there on Friday morning just to go and give the support, leave some few friends with them, you see, as the portfolio committee, of which we did. And I had so much interest because I knew tourism was this, you see. And as I was listening and looking at the screen, each time they showed those shots, they would always accompany it with the Department of Tourism. Well, I said, oh, this one belongs to us, you know. I was so excited, you know. I wonder if there was any who was representing the department in that event. The way. Quite. Just one other thing. Short left campaign. Normally, I don't get it right. What is actually happening? How does it operate? Maybe it might be a good thing just for one to know, so that you can be able to explain to the communities, you know, who are here representing the people. Short left campaign. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, mind the time now, please. There
are
about 10
minutes
left.
Yes, I promise to be brief. I just think that before we let SA Tourism go to its tea and buns or whatever the minister is promising it, not a chance. I think that I would like to, and I'm sure that probably most of our colleagues here would as well, like to commend SA Tourism for the magnificent job they've done of marketing the country overseas on a budget that has perhaps been inadequate. And I look at what they're sort of projecting, what they're hoping to get over the next couple of years in their sort of presentation here, which I think you're asking for very modest increases. Or projecting very modest increases over the next couple of years. And I think that we should, if this is how effective they've been with a fairly tight budget, I think they can only do so much better if we actually do support any perhaps more ambitious applications for funding. And I'm not saying that we're going to be able to, you know, persuade our other colleagues who no doubt are also wanting to get more money for their departments. But I think that you've done exceptionally well, and I think that we really must support you, because I think the whole country can benefit, you know, even the little rural areas. And yeah, that's just all I wanted to say before they go.
I accept to be the last one of this portfolio committee, but always my questions are not answered.
Come up with, again with your questions.
We do work with travel agents, and I think Rasheen will talk to you a bit more in terms of the context of domestic. The problem that happens with travel agents is travel agents choose the places that they work with. We can only give them information. For example, in our domestic department took down quite a lot of Joburg travel agents down to the Eastern Cape to do an educational, so they could learn more about the Eastern Cape product, so they could sell it better. And we do those kinds of projects. But you know, if this question arises out of the experience of the committee in Vicksburg, the problem that you have in a place like Vicksburg is there's very little accommodation. So what will happen is the travel agent will look and search everywhere, and probably, I'm not sure there's anywhere else to stay there besides the Highlands Hotel. And so that's what happens. But what would have probably been better for you is if the travel agent had put you in Lady Brands or in Clarence, where there's a lot of accommodation. And so it would have been, if it was perhaps a better informed travel agent, would have chosen another option. But I'm going to ask Rasheen to talk a bit more, because she's going to talk about short left and explain short left. And part of short left is about working with the travel agents and the tour operators inside South Africa.
Apologies about your question. It's not because you last born.
I lost my handwriting. Sorry.
The domestic campaign started about 4 years ago. I think the honourable member remembers actually the launch of it, which we launched here in Langa. And I was actually involved at that time. When it started, we just started with awareness. What we started doing is we were creating awareness about traveling in South Africa. What is there, how much it costs, that it is for South Africans. Because remember that we were coming out of a period when a lot of South Africans didn't feel like they could travel in the country. They were not feeling excited about it or interested in it or welcomed. And that is still a problem, that people don't feel I'm going to be welcomed if I go to certain places. So our whole thing was to create awareness, but also to work with the product so that we develop products that can work for the domestic market. So things that work are things like the Forever Resorts, the one in Bella Bella, which they used to call Warm Bath. Those kinds of products, the Durban beachfront and all the hotels that are available there. Nelson Mandela Bay, because you've got beautiful beaches and hotels. So those are the places where one chose. Even Northern Cape and Free State have got, if you go to a place like Clarence, they've got really good products that domestic tourists are looking for and where they want to go. So our job, I would say, for about 3 years was around the awareness, around working with the products, around getting people to understand what is out there. Then we started, even at that time we were working with the travel agents, but we started doing a lot more in the last 2 years. So we began to develop what we call fun buses. So we have these buses that you can travel on. They go to various parts of the country. Fun trains, fun planes, which are done with Kulula, where it's a special offer that people can get on. Now we have a website which is called Short Left. It's like the taxi lingo. Take a short list. And on that website is all the special offers that are available for people. I know it's hard for people to get to a website, so we have a call center number as well. And people can phone this number, and then they can also find out what's available, what the information is. So we've been working on getting those buses. The most recent thing we've done, which I think is good as well to tell people, is we linking up with ShopRite Checkers. And some of these are being sold through the ShopRite Checkers store. So we get the special offers from the accommodation and products, and then we're ensuring that there's a place where you can go to. So the ShopRite Checkers stores are now promoting the Short Left campaign. So these are the places now that are becoming more available. Flight Center as well. And like Didi said, we are continuing to try and get the travel agents, because they sell, to see more of the country. We've also taken them to the Northern Cape, and we've taken them to the Eastern Cape, and this has been trips we have invested in so that they can sell those places as well.
Thank you very much, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. But before you go, perhaps let me say that my impression is that the institution is well managed, well led, and it seems that it has managed to craft a common purpose. And in my impression is that you are doing a great job with quite limited resources. And for that, I think, on behalf of the committee, let me say that we thank you as South African Tourism team, and under your able leadership, that is Ms. Doyle and Mr. Mabuza, for a job well done and able leadership for what appears to be an efficient, effective and economic approach to the stewardship of this important organization in our great country. We are going to get engaged. We have developed a sense of working together. We shall always appreciate and wish that all departments perhaps
through to be where you are, given what we often see in the committees. And we only hope and pray that you are going to improve, and we, on our part, we shall advocate for a better tourism together with you. Resources globally have decreased, but I think that with priorities allocation, perhaps could be better or could go on the same way as it did. But given the 60 billion that is under the projected distinct amounts, will create some difficulties. But despite all those difficulties, I think together we shall be able to make South Africa a great tourism destination. Thank you very much.
El coronel, ¿no?